Hi, my name is Mert Erigal. I am an attending physician at Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn, and I want to tell you the story of possibly the most difficult case of cultural divide that I've ever had. I was just coming into work one night, and it was winter because I was taking off my jacket, and a Chinese patient came directly to me and started speaking to me. He was very friendly, but I had no idea what he was saying. It sounded like he was speaking Mandarin. I do know the difference a little bit between the way Mandarin and Cantonese sound because I've traveled in China, but I don't speak those languages. So I said, "I'm so sorry. I don't understand what you're saying. Please go to your bed and sit down. We'll be with you in a minute." Of course, he didn't hear me, but I pointed to the bed and he left. Later, when we were rounding, he showed up again and came directly to me and started saying something and bowing, which was completely unnecessary, but I guess he was a polite gentleman. And I said, "Please go back to your bed. We'll see you after rounds." And after rounds, I got pulled actually to another cubicle. I was seeing another patient somebody had been worried about, and this guy peeked his head in and started talking to me again, you know, saying something, and very polite. But finally, I realized, okay, we have to see this guy. So I sent one of the residents in to see him, and there was nobody there who spoke, you know, Chinese. So we used the language line, the cell phone, whatever, the phone that translates from English to Chinese, and there was a problem. For whatever reason, the operator couldn't understand him, or he couldn't understand the operator. It wasn't clear, but it just didn't work. And so we sort of scratched our heads and we're like, "Well, are there any Chinese-speaking people around?" And somebody was like, "Oh yeah, there's the cardiology fellow, that guy, you know, that guy." And somebody else was like, "Oh no, he's Korean. Don't be such a racist." And then we just couldn't we couldn't figure out what to do. And so my idea, and I'll take credit for this, was to order Chinese food. And we were hungry anyway, so we ordered Chinese food. In 15 minutes, the guy showed up, and there were actually photographs of him in his helmet from his, you know, moped, talking to this guy and, you know, interpreting. And very quickly, you know, in his bed, in his hand, was still this, you know, bag of Chinese food that we ordered. He said, "No, he doesn't speak English. I'm sorry, he doesn't speak English, but he also can't hear. He's deaf. Oh my God. So that was a shock. So, okay, so this guy's deaf. We can deal with that. So we actually have a sign language interpreter on call 24 hours a day. It must be some, you know, citywide regulation or something. But so we called this guy and he was like, "Yeah, I'm in the Bronx. I'll come in. It'll take me a little bit, but I'll come in." So, and this patient, though, you know, kept turning up, kept talking, and I kept sending him back to his bed, and it was getting a little irritating, a little frustrating. And at one point we were rounding and this other guy showed up with dreads and he was like, "Hey, excuse me." And I was like, "Listen, go back to your bed, please. We're going to see you in a minute." And he paused and he said, "I'm the sign language interpreter." And I said, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Okay." And I introduced him to the Chinese patient. And they, you know, sort of signed with one another for a little bit. And the guy came back and said, "This man speaks Chinese sign language. He doesn't understand my sign language. I'm sorry, I can't help you." And so we were really at an impasse now. I had never had this experience before. Almost every language in the world is, you know, accessible somehow, some way, especially in New York City. But this guy resisted all attempts to sort of communicate with him. And so I said, "You know, just listen, send every test." You know, we sent all CBC, chemistry, LFTs, send a lipase, send an aspirin level, send, you know, whatever, serum plastic level. I don't care. I was so frustrated at that point. And I got a call from the lab that this guy's troponin is 4. And we did an EKG, and he had some, you know, ST changes and, you know, T-wave abnormalities. And so we diagnosed him with an MI and admitted him to the CCU. And in hindsight, I realized that this whole bowing thing that he was doing, it wasn't a sign of, you know, great respect. He was actually, at the same time, kind of clutching his chest and bending forward at the waist, telling me, "You idiot, I'm having a heart attack, my chest hurts." And so I guess I missed that one, but we finally did make the diagnosis.